Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't talk about theory, we talk about what actually works. Because the truth is, there is a lot of noise out there, a lot of strategies, a lot of experts, a lot of people telling you how to grow who've never actually built anything. But real business, it's not pretty, it's not polished, it's built in the mess. And at the end of the day, if it's not bringing in work, if it's not making money, then it doesn't matter. And God didn't call you just to stay busy. He called you to build something that actually produces. So if you're tired of the bullshit, this conversation is going to speak to you. Let's get into that. Today's guest is Wes Towers, a guy who didn't learn business in a classroom. He learned in the arena by building it. Okay. Wes, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. And I launch everybody from this question. Tell us, your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you special?
Yeah, we do websites and SEO. Firstly, thank you so much for being
Of
on the show. It's a real
course.
privilege to be with you, and I really look forward to it. But yeah, so the business, we do website design, development, SEO for the trades and construction industry. Any industrial brands we work with, and we build trust, authority, and recognition in the marketplace so people can be chosen.
Yeah. Let's get to this part of where, you built this from scratch. There was no magic wand. There was no like Wes wakes up and decides he wants a business and it magically appeared. So in that journey, like what do you recall as being the hardest part in the beginning?
So many lessons learned the hard way, I suppose. And as you say, I had no business understanding. I had a skill set and an understanding and a vision that I wanted to be a business owner one day and run a business, but had no idea of how to do that. So I fumbled and stumbled my way forward. So just learning the basics of business were really the hardest. I think getting started is always the hardest thing in anything we try to achieve in life. And once there's a little bit of momentum in a positive direction, that affirmation and so on keeps you going. So just learning how to interact with other people,
Yeah.
which sounds crazy, but I was just so nervous and self-conscious and felt like a fraud
Oh,
when
yeah.
I would meet with potential customers.
Mm-hmm.
It always felt like they were high-end business people who knew what they were talking about. And there was me, totally, naive
New.
to the world and business. And the one thing I was confident in was the skill set that I had. So eventually I figured out, hey, people are people, and you can just speak to them and relate to them in a natural way,
Yeah.
and just be myself. And some people might not like that, and some people will. But the authenticity of who I am really helped me define how the business would be shaped.
I love that. What is something that broke early on that taught you the most?
Yeah, well, that one of the things I think we always learn through hardships and challenges, and it's almost like refining us, that purging of what's not perfect, like a refiner's fire. So one of the big learning opportunities, we'll look at it in that light now, but at the time it felt like a horror. Sorry,
Yeah.
it felt like a horror scenario where I took on a project that we should never have taken on, and I took it on for all the wrong reasons. So I had a lead developer at this time. It was still a young business, but I had a small team with me, and the lead developer, I could sense, was getting a little bit bored with the work. He was a brilliant mind, and so potentially our work was below his skill set. So I could sense he was getting a little bit bored. So a project came along our way that I could put a proposal in. I don't know how it came across my desk, but it did. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity to keep this guy engaged. And so I showed him and said, look, I've got no idea how to build this thing. It was a dating website before Tinder and so on. It was a website for those sorts of things and lots of other sophisticated ways in which people could connect and various things. So I had no idea how to build it. So I ran it past him and he said, yeah, sure, I know how to do it. I said, brilliant. Do you mind putting forward the scope and proposal? I'll present it and see how we go. And we did that, won the project. And a couple of weeks into the project, he quit. So I was left
Wow.
with this massive task of fulfilling what I feel is a promise. I put in a proposal to say we're
Yeah.
going to do this thing. And had to figure it out myself. So That was a massive lesson in that taking on projects for all the wrong reasons can be really detrimental. It cost me a lot. Not that the project specifically cost me a lot, because I was burning, it was my time effectively, but it meant that I couldn't take on other things. So sometimes saying no to something is actually saying yes to a whole bunch of other things. So being intentional about that, knowing what we do best, our niche, our lane, sticking to that. Obviously, there's times where we'll extend upon that to a degree, but it's in a healthy way. It's kind of like building muscle. You stretch yourself a little bit and you build that resilience and muscle. But if you go too far, you break. So in this scenario, we almost broke. We got through it, but I learned a whole bunch of things doing that.
I
So.
mean, Wes, that's the perfect lesson to learn early on is just be able to set that boundaries of no, and for you to be able to take that responsibility to say like, "Ooh, I know this wasn't in alignment for me." You could have just thrown hands in and not stood for like your integrity, and that would have been a mess too. So I think that's great. I want to talk about marketing a little bit. It's a little two-part question. What is the biggest lie in the marketing world right now, and why do you think so many businesses are wasting money on marketing?
I think that the problem with marketing and the perception of how people use it is you've got to embellish who you truly are. So there's that lack of authenticity. And I feel as though there's this massive push against the inauthentic. And there's this massive growing level of distrust in what we read. Anything online, we don't trust what we read. We don't trust what we see, the images, the videos. I
It's
mean, we've all
awful.
seen amazing videos of presumably people, but we know that they're not genuinely footage of them because they're long past. Those sorts of things are kind of exciting, but terrifying as well. And so this erosion of trust, I think the play to get past that from a marketing standpoint is to be genuine and authentic, and even to show your scars and to show your imperfections. I think there's massive advantage in businesses who are able to market in a way that show a level of vulnerability. And so sometimes that is saying, no, we're not the greatest at this particular scenario. Why don't you go over to our competitor here? We know they do a wonderful job. Those types of mindsets, I think, are going to be the big, massive winners, those businesses, simply because it builds a level of trust when you know someone's being authentic and they're not just inflating their capabilities. And that's been where we're at for ma in marketing and advertising for so long. So I think if you can push against that grain and be a little bit counterintuitive in that, I think that's going to set you apart from the rest. I think people are looking for trusted advisors because there's just so many tools and options out there, aren't there? It's the ways in which you could market, different systems you could introduce into your business, so many options. And we need guidance of somebody who's done it before and knows, who's seen a bunch of scenarios just like yours and can help guide you. So I think that trusted advisor piece is really important from a marketing standpoint.
I very much agree with you, and I think that's part of what I love about this show is that I try to hold conversations and direct them in a way where my audience is gonna be like, "Oh, I totally relate to Wes. Like, I totally get what he's saying." Instead of that, everything online is curated, everything online is a bunch of fluff and hype, bullshit. I just call it bullshit. Like the curated Instagram pages make my skin crawl. And I think now, like, yes, is AI a gift? I mean, my SEO words come from chat every day. I don't create that, you guys. Okay. My brain capacity, I have interviews and I'm like, "Here, chat, here's my type up from Zoom. Let me know what words I put in YouTube." Okay. So yes, AI, beautiful thing, but it's never going to replicate who I am when I have these conversations. It can't replicate our interview. And I think in the next coming, couple of years, this is going to be huge. People are going to be looking for real people. And that relatability is everything. It's everything. How do you build trust in your space with people who don't know you? How does your business do this?
So for us, it's about just doing exactly what you said. So doing podcasts and so on. So people who choose to do so can listen in and find out a little bit about me and whether they some people will like me and so on. Last podcast actually that I recorded, the guy said, "I've watched a bunch of your material and you're always smiling. And this goes to your point of that curated perception of somebody, of who somebody is. And I think, I mean, in podcasts, I always am smiling because I love them so much. I love speaking to people. I'm a real people person. So I just love to engage and talk. So he's seeing me at my best. And we've got to remember that in social media, we're potentially seeing all people always at their best. So that's one aspect of it. But also, some of these podcasts have been brilliant in digging into some of my flaws as well. And just the different ways in which people ask questions, it makes you dig a little deeper into who you truly are, because I think we all find it hard to understand who we truly are until people around us can help reveal that to us, I think, in a, to a large degree, just by different ways of framing questions.
Oh, for
Questions
sure.
are the real the gold, aren't they?
Questions are, they are the gold, and it's, you got to get creative sometimes, 'cause not everybody, I've had, people on the show. It's a baby show. I'm like 2 months old, okay? And I've ran into a couple conversations where they don't want to talk about the flaws. And they don't want to talk about their struggles. And to me, like, how can I humanize this? And it's that holding compassion for them for saying, the most insecure people want to look, they're so worried about everybody's perception. And so it made it easier to reframe the questions, right? Like you can just kind of see, but I think humanizing people, humanizing them, like you're having these conversations and you humanize people. There's not a conversation where I haven't had a great takeaway or learned something from a guest or just been inspired. Shoot, I've made some really great friends over the past couple weeks just doing this. So I think, can we just bring back conversations and humanize people? Like, can we just do that? It's so
That's exactly
simple.
right.
It's so simple. What
We're
is
doing that for, go on, sorry.
No. How would you advise people to, stand out in the world right now where, everything does kind of sound the same?
So being the thought leader of the tools, so you mentioned ChatGPT, and so you can lean upon the tool to create the content and the thoughts and the ideas, but then it's just generic and bland because it's just a collation of what everyone else has already said in that particular topic area. So when you're the thought leader, but you use it to to structure it in a way that's more meaningful for other people. I'm always talking to my phone, my ChatGPT, and I think that's the real best way to use it, because then you when you speak out, that creative those creative juices start flowing. There's real power in speaking, but also there's the benefit of there's just so much more information. And these are large language models, so they understand the context of the full language. So if it's my thoughts going in, but it's just helping to guide and shape it into a meaningful way that other people can digest and consume, because my thoughts can be pretty random and sporadic, and they don't necessarily translate into something fully articulate sometimes. So sometimes I'm just grasping, something's playing on my mind and I'm kind of thinking about it from a marketing standpoint and I want to share it, but I just can't get it into a format that's really suitable. So, and I might be out and about, I might be driving, and just start speaking to my phone. And by the time I get to wherever I've got to, it's something that's polished and refined, because the tool has helped me do that. But it's my thoughts, and that's how we fight against being generic and bland. We're trying to bring something unique and beneficial and a different perspective. So, but for our clients, I mean, a lot of them are trades, construction type businesses, industrial brands, and they're really pragmatic, down to earth, practical people. But they've got other ways to showcase their uniqueness. So they've got great projects. So simply just showing the projects and the case studies that they've worked on. I mean, there was a client we launched a website for a couple of weeks ago. They've done some brilliant buildings, but I had no idea when I started working with them. And then once I started understanding the quality of their work, we just had to show them as case studies, because that's authentically something that only they can say they did and share about. So the photographs, some of the photographs weren't polished, but they show the building and people go, they recognize buildings around Australia, probably in the world in some ways, some of the buildings. So just showcasing who what you do and who you are. And to your point, the humanization, I mean, for some of the smaller brands who don't have a huge team, one of the biggest levers we can pull, so let's say it's a couple-led business, but one of the partners in the couple are more behind the scenes. They do the admin and the bookkeeping and keep everything going behind the scenes, and they don't want to be at the forefront. But showcasing them on the website is a massive benefit, because people like to relate to the people, and some people will relate to one person more than the other, and also it just shows an aspect of them being a family-led business, which is wonderful thing. So seeing those happy, smiling faces on the website, the profiles of not just the person on the tools, but the person behind the scenes doing a lot of the hard work as well,
I
is
love
a
that.
massive win. And people just don't think about that as an opportunity. It just goes missing so much.
And especially, I mean, the person that's behind the scenes, it's not going to be their idea, right? That's not going to be my idea. If I run behind the scenes and I don't want to be the face of something, it's not going to be my idea to be the face of anything. So that makes a lot
That
of
introvert
sense.
type of person.
Yeah, for sure. What actually makes a website convert and not just look good?
You've got to be, it's all about the message, really. So everything we do is geared around making sure the message is clear and concise and compelling, and just people can grasp it super fast, because we're all rushed online. Our attention spans are eroded for a whole range of reasons. We can't fight against that, but all we can do is make sure we tailor the websites for that. And so even designing it in a way that guides the eye through the core messages. Now, some people will only scan, most people will only scan through and pick out parts that they want to read. So it's about designing it in a way so those most important aspects are digestible and are understood,
Highlighted.
but then to take action. You want everything to lead to some form of what's the next logical step? What's that action you want them to take? Request a quote, make a phone call, book something into the calendar if that's what it is. So you've always got to think about what's the next logical step you want them to take as a consequence of reading this one page. Every page has its unique opportunity. So it's pretty clear. It's pretty simple, but there's some, just because we're in it every day, we can't kind of see what works, and what works for one company is likely to work from a structural standpoint or a messaging standpoint. The user experience, what's going to convert the highest. Sometimes without that knowledge, you kind of come at it just from a pure aesthetic perspective, which is also part of it. You want it to look great, but there's other underlying things that will help
That have to
the
work.
conversion rate optimization, which is obviously super important.
That's funny because we're talking about AI, and that's I'm right now currently I have this incredible program that I put through first chat, and now I'm using it through Claude. It's incredible program. I ran it through, and I mean it's helped with everything, like optimize my health, has me like it's crazy to me. It's like my all-in-one go-to. And suddenly I saw this co-work and I'm like, man, can Claude build my website? So it's funny that that's what we're talking about right now, because Claude is actually building my website. I mean, I have a guy that will put everything together, but like Claude's setting up all the things, and these are the things that are coming through, like is it visually appealing, but also is it going to do the work? Is it going to take people? Is there transparency? What people can expect? The next, does it take them from point A to point B? And what is point B? Like, what is our point here? What When we're talking about AI, what should people be using it for in business?
Anything you don't want to do. I think that if you can, sometimes people are delegating it with the delegating away their creative inputs to AI, which is a shame, because that's what I think is exciting and fun to work on. But anything you don't want to do, systems, processes, systemize the procedures that you might work towards, anything that is repeatable, that you can systemize, is wonderful. Get it off your plate and into a piece of software and technology that can handle it for you, is the thing. But I just worry that we're delegating the wrong things away, the designs and the, to a degree, if design doesn't really rock your boat, maybe you do delegate it. But from my perspective, I mean, I'm pretty excited to get my teeth into, the creativity. I
Yeah.
think there's, I heard this a long time ago. It was actually, well, it's been around obviously thousands of years, but
Yeah.
the concept of, if this world was made by a creator, then certainly part of our character, and we're created in his image, then it's highly likely a massive part of who we are is to be creative.
Creative,
So
yes.
I'm just concerned that sometimes we're delegating away our creativity.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of all of us. I know some people say, oh no, I'm not creative. I think that's the wrong way to frame it, because there's different ways of being creative. I mean, you
Yep.
can be creative visually and aesthetically, and that's typically what people think about, or writing content and, that type of thing. But there's other creativity, the ways in which you look at business. Every entrepreneur is creative because they're seeing opportunities and they're perceiving what could be instead of what is right now. So that's creative. I think we all need to lift our game in the creative space, particularly now that, the technical stuff is almost taken care of to a large degree. And
Yeah.
if it's not now, it will be in a couple of years' time.
Right.
So thinking through all of that, I think it's an exciting time, but terrifying as well.
Yeah. No, I very much agree with that. And I like that you're talking about there's different ways to be creative because that's, my content, that's creative for me. Like I write my content. The writing is like my thing, right? Like that's
Yeah.
my creativity. But as far as like could I design a website? Absolutely not. I don't know. I
Yeah.
have no idea. I don't know the first thing about that. That's not on my wheelhouse, right? Or, it really is just different for everybody. But I very much agree with you. Like we are called to create. Every single day we should be creating something, whatever that is for people. And I think
Yeah.
that's the point of the human experience is we're all going to be really great at something, and then we kind of work with each other to figure out what else we're not great at. Just like, I can have Claude build this incredible website, but Claude can't do the code, right? Like Claude can't actually plug it all in to my thing. So I still need someone who is creative in code. It's not English to me. No matter how much I've tried, like that stuff is not English. Or, as far as my creativity goes, someone I genuinely like I'm gonna take our conversation and when we're done, Zoom sends me a little note. I'm going to put it up into chat and I'm going to say, hey, just write me an SEO packed overview and give me the SEO tags, right? It's not taking from my creativity because my creativity right now is in this conversation. Like this is the creation and it's still our words, it's our conversation. It's just, can I delegate this task, right? Because I want to create the shows, not necessarily the overview. So I think there is such a great place for AI, and I think also we still need people. What is something in business that people think they need that they really don't?
Well, there's probably a lot of things. What do they need that they really don't? It's I mean, I think we all got through the time where we felt we needed a big shiny office in the city, with everything looking amazing. I think all of us got past that when we hit that horrible time. We won't talk about it too much, but a few years back when we were working at home and realized, hey, there's some benefit to this. I think so. That's one of the big things you don't need, the big shiny office. And you also don't even need to be, you don't even need to be in a city. So you can live regionally and serve massive audiences right where you are. If, living down, I live down near the coast, and there's a few buddies of mine that running businesses, successful businesses. Some of them are even fairly recognized around Australia for what they do, in terms of fame from a business standpoint. Those types of people, they're down here too. So
I
we're
love
living our
that.
best life, not in the city anymore. So we were all in the city at one time, but life changes, and your priorities change, having children and so on, that you want them to grow up in a certain way. So you reshape your life around and find, hey, we didn't really need to be in the city after all. So there
No.
you go.
I love that. What is a mistake you see that people make over and over again that's kind of costing them money?
Well, I think the marketing standpoint, sometimes people just founder-led businesses will often just handball that piece completely and not want to have much input. Maybe it's not really in their wheelhouse, and therefore they think they'll just get it done by an external party. But they've got to have input and say, because the company brand will be a reflection of the founder's values and convictions and really where they're wanting to take the business. And if the marketing team don't understand that at a deep level, then there'll be a mismatch and it won't be effective. So the founder needs to be guiding everything in business, but the marketing, because that's what's being communicated to the world. So even though they should never be bogged down by doing the grunt work of, social media and putting things together, certainly not publishing things in websites and building websites and all that kind of stuff. They certainly shouldn't be spending their time in that. But the thought leadership, I think that is where they need to invest more time. Sometimes we're working with some pretty large companies, and you work with a marketing manager, but sometimes you just wish you could talk direct to the founders, because there's a greater level of heart in what they would share, and we can extract some ideas from them that potentially the marketing person may not. So there's that human craft of speaking to someone and really digging deep to find out what they truly want, and to find that uniqueness in them. And sometimes it feels a little bit disconnected for us when we're working with a larger company. It's really exciting when you can work with a little bit of a smaller company and get face-to-face contact with the founder.
No, I'm sure. And it just makes the work a lot more personal because I think once you can get the essence of someone, then that's what you get to highlight. And if you don't know, you're kind of flying blind. If a business right now is not getting leads, what's the first thing that you look at?
Yeah, so from most of what we do is geared around the website, although there's other things that fuel the fire, so to speak. So the social media, that we're trying to drive people back into the website because it's the one area you control online. But then for people to take that next step action. So it depends on whether there's a traffic problem, so just not enough eyeballs on your website, or it's a conversion problem. Sometimes it's a combination of both, but usually there'll be one aspect, either not enough views or not enough conversion, and then we'll work on whatever's weakest first as the first priority, and switch gears if we need to. So if it's traffic, it's typically around the content in which is you've published. You've got to fuel, just like you do with these podcasts, you've got to structure your content in a way that it's digestible by Google, but also large language models these days. Their content fuels them, and written words are so much easier for them to consume and understand. So having a blog or news within your website, if you're trying to build up your traffic, and then you can have lots of different topics and touch points. You can dig really deep into a certain something and publish that, and human readers will read it, hopefully, ideally, but also the large language models will pick it up, and also Google will pick it up, and you'll start to build your traffic and authority. So that's the traffic piece. The conversion piece, sometimes people just make silly mistakes. Well, not silly, that's the wrong way to frame it, because if it's not in your wheelhouse, you wouldn't know. But just the way in which you might have contact forms, for example, if that's your main lead mechanism within the website, if you're asking for too many fields, they'll be less likely people will fill it in. So sometimes just stripping back a contact form to the key foundational things you need to get that lead flowing through, it makes a massive difference. So that's a really quick win sometimes that we can pull, just remove a whole bunch of stuff that is unnecessary.
So you don't need my name, my address, my email, my phone number. Like that's the stuff that's turning people off.
Absolutely, because that privacy is a massive concern as well. We're all growing more concerned, and as we should be, about our private data. We don't know where it goes. You punch it into a website, you don't know where it goes. You don't even know whether you necessarily want to hire that company to do whatever it is at that time. You're just making an initial inquiry. You haven't earned the trust and respect of, to the company hasn't earned that yet. So you just want that initial contact, and you can follow it up by however you want to follow it up to get a little bit more info when you need it.
Just even on my side of it, if I go to a website and I just want information, like you said, and they're asking me for an email to get the information, I'm out. Like,
Yeah.
when I love the information, like if I'm like, oh, this is awesome, like, yeah, I want to stay plugged in, but it should be, I just feel like it should be optional, not a forced,
Yeah.
not forced. Like, just let me see what do you guys even look like? I don't know. What is
Yeah.
it that you do? So just trying to get information. I think you're spot on with that. Where can people get resourced with you? Where can they find you? If there's a business guy listening and he's like, man, I don't know how to tell if it's traffic or conversion, he just doesn't know. How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, we do a lot of strategy calls, and so uplift360.com.au, and you can book a call with me directly there. There's no obligation or anything. And uplift360.com.au, that being an Australian website, but don't let the Australian piece deter you. If you do visit the
Yeah.
site, you'll see there's lots of global brands are featured there, even on the homepage, a whole bunch of brands you probably recognize.
Yeah.
Big button there, you can call to action button to book that strategy call with me there.
That's awesome. And you know what's funny? I just looked at my analytics on this show this morning, and
Yeah.
the least amount of people that listen are from the United States. So the show is actually
Really?
global, kind of everywhere. Yeah, I had to double check because I'm like, this doesn't seem right. What is going on? But yeah, no, they're all over the world. So,
Brilliant.
weird side note. Anyway, Wes, this is the
Yeah.
part of the show where I want to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand business, it's that you've done it. You've lived it. You've been in the arena. You've been in the mess. You've made the mistakes. You figured out what works and you cut out everything that doesn't. So you are someone that it's very obvious. You don't just sell ideas. You are delivering results. And in a world full of noise, I think that matters. And I think that makes you special. To everyone listening, you guys stop overcomplicating it. If it's not working, if it's not producing, if it's not bringing in the results, it's not the move. God didn't call you to spin your wheels. He called you to build something that works, to be clear and to be focused. And please remember that your mess is your message. Okay. Those lessons are how people are going to understand that you understand them, even the mistakes, even the things that don't work, even the hard lessons. And that's where your authority comes from. If this episode spoke to you or you know someone who needs some help with their business, needs that consulting call, please share the episode out because you know someone that Wes and I will never meet. And without your help, we can't ever get them resourced. So make sure you share this out. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Wes, thank you so much for waking up early this morning to have a chat with me or to make that, an early part of your day. I appreciate your time for the show.
It's been brilliant. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I've loved it.